We get that out of Nehemiah chapter 8, as he stood upon a pulpit. He stood upon a pulpit of wood, preached, and the people stood while he read. But open your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs in chapter 27. Proverbs in chapter 27. And we're just going to read two verses this morning by way of introduction. I'm going to ask you, though, if you will, when we read these verses, do stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Then we'll pray, and then you can sit down for a spell. And we'll get into the precious Word of God today. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Look with me, if you will, in verse 1. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Can I tell you guys this morning? I'm glad to be saved. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of God. I'm glad to be saved. Hey, listen, I know it's cold in here. I came down to 5 o'clock this morning and turned the boilers on. And I thought it would have been warmer in the sanctuary, but the fellowship hall is toasty warm. So I don't know why it's this cool in here, but maybe we'll get that looked at and see what we can do. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." Father in heaven, we pray today that you'd have your will, your way. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God would have free reign this morning, that, Father, distractions would be minimal. The Lord, we can put aside the coolness of the room today. Dear Lord, I know it's cool in here, but I pray, Father, that we can put that aside for a short period of time, that, Lord, we can come and give you praise, glory, and honor as we lift up the name of Christ, as we exalt the Word of God, as we apply it into our hearts and our daily lives, that we may live a life on this earth that is pleasing to the name of our Savior and pleasing unto the Father. Father, lead us and guide us by thy Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, I just pray for a simple touch today. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would touch a heart today, that they, Lord, that a soul would be here that may turn toward you and ask forgiveness of their sins so they may know that they have eternal life. We love you now and we thank you, dear God, for all that you've done and for who you are. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Have a seat. Please be seated if you will. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, "Boast not," and in this particular verse, it's speaking of us boasting not of tomorrow. And the word boast comes from the very same word that defines to shine or to praise. So in the context of the scripture that we're reading here, it's saying that a man or a woman or a child should not be shining or should not be praising about tomorrow. Tomorrow is something that has not occurred. It is something that quite possibly may not even occur. Tomorrow may never get here. Monday morning may never arrive here in the United Kingdom. As a matter of fact, our very next second of our life is not promised today. You know, I've said this several times and many times that God does not have to take life from someone. He doesn't have to kill someone. All he has to do is to stop giving life, if you understand me this morning. So we have here Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the planet, the wisest man that ever lived. We have this man here that said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Friend, this is the type of action, and I believe in all of my heart, that hinders most people from being saved. It's not so much the sin of alcohol. It's not so much the sin of abuse. It's not so much the sin of even a worldly attraction. But oftentimes, it is the simple sin of procrastination that hinders a person from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It's a person who looks out and they begin to boast themselves of tomorrow. The word boast is found in the Bible 20 times in 19 verses. And in many of verses we find that that same word is in a positive nature, if you will. If you look, I'll give you a few verses. You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says in Psalm 49 verse 6, it says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches." Psalm 94:4 says, "How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves?" 2 Corinthians 10:13 says, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." So sometimes the word boasting is used in a generalized term, not so much a rebuking term, but a generalized term. But almost as often, we also find that that the word boast is being used in a negative, rebuking contrast. Romans chapter 11, verse 18 says, Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now that's a direct verse dealing with Israel, as in the church boasting against Israel of the teaching and doctrine that you've heard of today of dominion theology, teaching that the church has replaced the nation of Israel as a chosen people of God. Listen, now can I tell you this morning, that every soul today is underneath the shadow of God Almighty. And they're either saved or they're born again. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Gentile nor barbarian nor Scythian nor black nor white nor English nor Welsh nor American nor Canadian. And they're all underneath the shadow of God Almighty. And the only two today, just like those that got onto that Titanic in April of 1912, the same group of people that got onto that ship, there was only two by the end of the destination. That was those that were saved, or those that were lost. As they made their voyage, there was a multitude of classes on the ship. But when everything was done and said, there was only two types of passenger that was listed. And that was the ones that were saved, and that was the ones that was lost. And that's what he's saying there in Romans chapter 11. It's a rebuke that God has given Paul to tell unto the people to boast not against the branches, speaking of Israel. Psalms in chapter 97 tells us, I don't know what it did there. Psalms in chapter 97 tells us clearly there. It says, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship him, all ye gods. And so we find that's a negative connotation. Again, we read Psalm 94:4 earlier. How long shall thou speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? It's a negative contrast using that word in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. You know that is the second half of a very familiar scripture, and that's Ephesians 2:8. But it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, we are saved by grace, amen. We're saved by faith through grace, amen. It's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Then he says, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. That word meaning shining, or praising, or depending, or you could even go as far as to have a person being prideful in the fact that they're a chosen person of God, or a chosen man of God, or a chosen woman of God. It is the gift of God. It is a free gift, my friend. If I was to walk down this pulpit tonight, or today, and take something out of my pocket and say, listen, I got a gift for you right here. It's a 100-pound gift card to Tesco or to whatever your favorite store may be. If I was to bring that to your pew this morning, and I was to say, here, this gift is for you, you have to take that gift in order to receive the blessings of that gift, or you have the right to say, no, I don't want that gift. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, a gift is something that costs you absolutely nothing. And that's where the gift of salvation is. And we cannot boast saying that it is anything else. Now, the verse that we looked at today in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 is the same way. It is a rebuking contrast to the people saying, boast not thyself of tomorrow. We are not to praise and we're not to look at tomorrow as if we know that it's going to be here, my friend. This is a plague that is upon mankind today. It's the plague of procrastination, a plague that the Lord gives us great and fair warning to boast not ourselves of tomorrow. Did you know that the average person today spends more time thinking and working and conniving about what they plan to do than that which they are doing? That is one of the reasons why attention spans today are so short, because people very rarely partake into what they're actually doing, and you're thinking about the next thing there is to do. You say, where do you get that? Guys, that's one of the oldest marketing tricks in the business. They'll take a cereal box, and this will be the identical cereal that you have when you was a kid. It'll have the name on it. It'll have the same colors, the same characters, the same gifts, the same nutrition. Everything on about it is the same. You know what they do? They slap new on it. And when they put the word new on there, it catches you. And all of a sudden, you're not focused on what once was or what is. You're thinking of what could be. And you get that box that is the same stuff that you've always eaten, but it says new on it. And that's what happens with people today. People spend so much time planning what they're going to do after church, planning what they're going to do Sunday night, planning what they're going to do Monday morning, and they just don't settle into what's going on in the house of God during the times of the Lord. And that's why people miss the ship. They just miss the boat. You may go on your way home today, and you may stop off at the grocery store, and you may take out a precious gospel tract that has the pure, perfect Word of God on it, and you may share that with the cashier. And as you give that to that cashier, they got a choice to make. You say, is it receive or reject? That's part of it. But I'll tell you, they have a choice to make. They can either take the here and now and read what that tract has to say, or they can place their mind somewhere in the very short future and avoid what the Lord is trying to deal with him at that moment. You see, my friend, we need to get to a world today, get into a world that is focusing on tomorrow and bring them to the reality of right now, because we are not promised the next second in this life. So, having said all that, I want you to think about the opportunities for a soul to be saved today. Soundly born again of the blood of Christ. Even those souls may recognize they need to be saved. We are having youth movie night Friday night. And there was a part of that movie that came on where, if you guys remember, where they were all praying and all these people were getting saved out on the football field. And they were crying out to the Lord. There's a revival breaks out in the high school. And then all of a sudden we find that things begin to go good with the school. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you what's on my heart and my mind right now. A young boy was sitting next to me in the youth group Friday night. In the very moment that he saw that going on out there on that football field, he leaned up to me and said, I want to do that. I want to do that. I said, do you know what they're doing? He says, yeah, they're praying. The only time he's ever been in church has been right here in the past 2 weeks. And no sooner did he say what he said, did his friend distract him. And the moment was gone. Guys, I'm telling you, we put too much on what is not yet here. And today we got to deal with right here, right now. God has blessings for us today. Those that are saved and born again, He has blessings and opportunities for us to deal with right here, right now, and not tomorrow. I want you to notice with me how James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, turn over there, hold your place in Psalms, in Proverbs, if you will. But turn with me, if you will, to James in chapter 4. James in chapter 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture, and I know that I said that yet again, and I wasn't supposed to. James chapter 4 this morning. James chapter 4, we read here in verse 13. If I can get there. James chapter 4. I can almost quote it. Verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. And all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Listen here. To him it is sin. The ending statement of this passage of Scripture concludes that such boasting of tomorrow, or such boasting that what you're going to do is plain evil. And James summarizes it up with the fact of saying that if you know to do right and you do it not, to you it's sin. If you know to do good and you do it not, to you it is sin, my friend. There's nothing wrong with schedules. There's nothing wrong with planners. There's nothing wrong with diaries. There's nothing wrong with that. And the Lord is not rebuking this man over the fact that he had plans to do things. He's not rebuking this man over the fact that he had a schedule to follow, or that he was preparing in his business or preparing in his work. He's not rebuking him of that. He's rebuking him for what he did not have. And he wasn't putting his trust in the Lord. He wasn't asking the Lord what the Lord would have him to do, but rather he was stating what he was going to do. As a matter of fact, we need to understand that there is nothing wrong with schedules. There's nothing wrong with preparation. There are two indisputable facts that are in this world today. Number one, we live in a fallen world filled with what? Fallen people. And number two, we have to work with those people every single day. Those are two indisputable facts that we cannot get past, that we cannot get rid of. Two indisputable facts that we live in a world that is fallen, filled with fallen people. But secondly, we must work with them every day. However, God is a God of order. He is a God of order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, let all things be done decently. And what? In order. He's not only a God of order, but He is a God of balance. A God of balance. Philippians 4, 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So with that said, the sin of this businessman of James chapter 4 that he's illustrated is not the schedules, it's not the deadlines, it's not the dedication, but it's rather not including the Lord in his planning. He considered not what the Lord would have him to do, his daily approach and his daily actions. Beloved, there's a danger that we find in the world today. A danger that Solomon warns us about in Proverbs 27. A danger that James is exhorting us in chapter 4. And friend, it is the danger today. The danger of waiting. There is a danger of waiting. Go back, if you will, to Proverbs in chapter 27 with me this morning. Proverbs chapter 27. I asked you to hold your place there, and I didn't hold my place there. Proverbs chapter 27, notice again, read the first part of that verse with me in your heart and your mind today. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. So many people in this life, they will plan on tomorrow. They will factor it in having the next day, or they'll factor it in having the next opportunity. I want to speak to two different types of people here just for a brief moment today. We won't be long in this point number one, but I want you to understand that there is a two-edged sword, both for the saved and for the unsaved this morning, in depending on tomorrow, or depending on the next day, or depending on the next opportunity. Read this verse with me from up top, 2 Corinthians 5:11. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What does Paul say? We persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That is a twofold, two-edged sword for those that wait in this life today. It is a two-edged sword. It's one side of the sword is toward the saved. The other side of the sword is toward the lost. One for the saved. If we wait to share the gospel with that neighbor, with that coworker, with that family member, with that cash register, that waiter, that waitress, if we wait to do that, friend, we may never have that opportunity again. If we wait to share the gospel with that person that is closest to hell today, we may not have another opportunity. Let me ask you a question. I just want you to answer it in heart. I don't want a show of hands or anything. But when was there a time in your life when you said, you know what, I'm going to call so-and-so up. I'm not even going to use a generic name. I mean, it may be true for you. I'm going to call him up. I'm going to call him up tomorrow. Have a chat with him. Maybe just to check on him, just to see how he or she was doing. And then when tomorrow came, by just the grace of God, when it came, what happened? You got busy. You had to clean the house. You had to go get groceries. You had to go to work. Things just happen. It's called life. And then you said, you know what? I'm going to call him tomorrow. And then the same thing happens. And two or three or four days goes by, a week goes by, maybe another week goes by, and all of a sudden somebody calls you and says, hey, did you hear that so-and-so passed away last week? Has it ever happened to you before? Friend, it's happened to me. It's happened to me. And it's one of the most heart-wrenching things that I can imagine in my life, to have to relive over and over and over, is that I should have called, I should have went over, I should have visited, I should have sent a note, I should have done this, should have done that. That's boasting thyself of tomorrow. And we can't do that. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. God has given you opportunities this very day to reach the lost. But the other side of that sword, the other side of that coin is this, my friend. Is that if you're here today and you're lost, you're unsure of eternal salvation, that comes with the same scariest opportunities. And Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, it's not just the terror that we may not receive the opportunity to witness to that lost soul, but that lost soul may not have the opportunity to be saved in this life again. I go back to when I was 17 years old. I was a lifeguard in Florida. And I remember a guy that was in lifeguard training with me. And he worked at the same pool. And he began to talk to me about the Bible. Began to talk to me about Jesus. Began to talk to me about the Word of God. And I put him off and put him off and put him off. And then nothing ever happened. And then about eight, 9 months later, I remember in college, I was a ball player there. And our RA, or our resident assistant, the guy that was in charge of the dorm there, he wasn't a football player. He wasn't a basketball player. He was just the head of the dorm, if you will. And he liked to work out. He was a super nice guy. He didn't hang out with us. But he began to talk to me one night about the Bible and talk to me about Jesus Christ and talk to me about the Word of God. And I put him off and I put him off. And then finally, when I was 19 years old, as a sophomore in college, I was home on Christmas break. I had a dear friend of mine who week after week, day after day, as we worked out in our high school gym, there on break from college, we worked out. He talked to me about the Bible and said, just come over and see my pastor. Come over and see my pastor. And finally, 2 or 3 days before I left, I was getting ready to leave the state. On December 31st, 1990, at about 2:15 Eastern Standard Time, I walked into that office that day. And it was that day, that hour, that moment that I got saved and born again of the blood of Christ. It was that day I asked the Lord forgiveness of my sins. And I've looked back at those opportunities. God did not have to give me, number one, the first opportunity. He didn't have to give me the second opportunity. Amen. There's a twofold coin. There's a two-edged sword in persuading men. There's a two-edged sword when we begin to look at boasting of tomorrow and that of waiting. My friend, the sad results of waiting is that a soul may be found wanting. The latter part of Proverbs 27 and verse 1 simply tells us this. It says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Beloved, no one in here can tell us that if the Lord allows tomorrow to come, but no one can tell us what's going to happen. You know the cliche my dad gave me when I was growing up? He raised me with this thought. He'd say, Beat, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. And I said, yeah, it does, Dad. Tomorrow's Tuesday. It's going to be here. Tomorrow's Tuesday. He goes, nope, tomorrow never comes. And I'd get up in the morning. Tuesday would be there. And I'd say, see, Tuesday's here. He goes, yep, but tomorrow's not. Tomorrow never comes. And he's right. Can you imagine in this world today? Listen carefully to me this morning. Can you imagine having the desire, the burning conviction to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, to do what the group was doing on the football field in that film, to pray and ask the Lord to save them, but allowing procrastination to overcome your power and forcing you to wait for another day, another opportunity, and never having that desire again. It's happened. It's happened more times than you can imagine. I have preached all over the world and I've seen thousands of souls get saved and born again. From third world countries to the richest countries of the world and everything in between, I've seen people get saved and it's a blessed and it's a glorious event. Amen. But for as many that I've seen get saved, I've probably seen 10 times as many walk out the back door no closer to Jesus Christ than they were when they came in. And they're found wanting. And it's sad. All I got to say to you today, if you know a person or if it's you today that has a desire to pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, fully confessing their sins and asking that of forgiveness, then do it. Do it now. Do it as soon as you can. That famous preacher, the Prince of Preachers out of London, C.H. Spurgeon, was walking through the streets with his deacon one day. And he was walking through the streets, saved, born again individual, saved man, a saved, wonderful man of God, greatest preacher of the modern era, more than likely. And as he walked across the busy streets of London with horse and buggies going everywhere, he stopped in the middle of the street, bowed his knee on the road and prayed. His associate or his deacon was dodging horses and got to the other side of the street and watched his pastor as he sat there in the middle of the road praying. C.H. Spurgeon arose and walked to the edge of the street there alongside his counterpart. And he said unto him, he said, Pastor, he goes, how dangerous was it you to kneel on the street and to pray right there? Could not you have just waited a few more moments? And he said, sir, he said, it would have been much more dangerous for me to continue one more step knowing I had an unconfessed sin to God than it would be for me to bow my heart and head in the middle of a busy street in London. Would to God that we would have that conviction today. That when the Lord told us to pray, we would pray. When the Lord told us to confess, we would confess. When the Lord told us to witness, that we would witness. When the Lord said, get saved, we would get saved. That moment. Beloved, if we put it off, we'll be found wanting, only to discover that your time now is wasting. He said, preacher, how am I going to waste my time here on earth? You know, we always say that get saved today because you may die. We always tell people that. We tell people that you may die today, so you better get saved right now. But I submit to you this morning that you should get saved, or a soul should get saved, or if you're here and you are saved today, you should witness to a lost and dying person, because they may not die, they just may live. Can you imagine living in this world today without the desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine going through a day-to-day business in the world that we live in and lost that desire to be close to the Savior? Beloved, it's happened time and time again. I could stand up here this morning for the next hour and I could give you testimony upon testimony upon testimony of people when they had an opportunity to strike while the iron was hot, to bow their heart, to bow the knee, to be saved and born again, walked away and said, I'll do it another time. And not one more time did the Holy Spirit of God bear witness upon their soul that they would be saved. So how do we know if we're going to be a witness to the lost and dying? How do we know who the Lord is dealing with? You don't know, and it's not up for us to know. It's just up for us to live and to be a witness for Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're here today fully knowing that if you died that you would go to heaven, the same goes for us. Can you imagine wasting the time that the Lord has given us by losing opportunity to share the riches of His glorious gift with those that are around us, trenching through this life, listen carefully, trenching through this life without a desire to share the gospel? The saints must not be so, beloved. I look at these youth that we had here on Friday night, the young girls that we pick up in two different vehicles, and we brought them here and we've taken them to Bethany, and this coming Friday they're going to the Christmas party at Bethany, and then next Friday they'll be here, and then we'll be off for a few weeks on youth, and we're going to kick it back off the third Friday of January. But I look at them and I think sometimes, what if we just said, you know, I just don't feel like driving out there. We'll do it next weekend. What if? Guys, listen, I don't know why I'm pushing this so hard this morning. But this world has absolutely no hope whatsoever outside of the Word of God. And they are not going to hear the Word of God outside of those of us who have it in us are willing to take it to them. Now, I don't expect you guys to walk every street of Aberammon and Aberdare and all throughout the valleys of South. I don't expect you to do that. All I expect and all God expects for all of us to do is to be a light unto the shining light unto the lost and dark world of those in our sphere of influence. That's all we got to do. If you imagine that everyone here today would do that very thing, would set a goal to to witness to three people in a week or three people a day or give three tracts out of there, whatever it may be, just in their heart. Do you imagine how many people could win if it would be won to Christ? Imagine how many people would receive the Word of God. You say, but my goodness, if I pass out 100 tracts and only one person gets saved. Listen, when one person gets saved, the Bible says the heavens rejoice. I'll take the one any day over the none. So my friend, boast not thyself of tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow is not here. What we have right now is today. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Right here, right now. And for you and I, to put that gift to a side, to put that opportunity to the side, we're wasting the time that God has given us. We'll be found wanting one day, knowing not what is before us. But my friend, let's not put off today in the act of waiting, in the midst of procrastination. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eyes closed today.